Good morning, Midland First. I am Pastor Bethany Machieski. I serve as the associate pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, and it is a gift to be with you and to get to worship together this morning. We have a few announcements for you this morning, beginning with a mission report from Matt and Mary Hamilton.
Good morning, everybody. Say, I'm Matt Hamilton, and this is my lovely wife, Mary. And we just returned from better part of a week down at Midwest Mission in Pawnee, Illinois. Now, some of the jobs, we did a lot of different jobs, but one of the things they did was when we first got there, we had an orientation, and then they assigned us work. And they had one request that was very urgent. They had a Quonset hut that was probably 60 by 40 that was full of all sorts of scrap wood and bleacher wood, and we had to clean it out, which was a lot of hauling, sorting, and moving. And then we had to take that bleacher wood, which was two stacks that were probably, I'd say, 6 foot tall, 12 foot wide, and each of those planks were 16 feet long. And we had to cut them in 5 and 6 foot and 8 foot sections. We got it almost done, but we would have finished it Friday if it hadn't rained. So we got to go inside the warehouse. And in the warehouse, we got to see the next steps of building the desks that they send out. I got to work on making the little frames, and talk about an organized shop. They had probably 8 tables there, and each table had a certain job. And each table had a certain set of tools, and all those tools are all sitting right there. So you kind of dumbed it down for us non-carpenters so that we could make stuff without making mistakes. Now, the ladies did some other things, and I'll let Mary describe those.
I did not work with the wood. What some of us did, they had a bunch of medical equipment like wheelchairs, crutches, shower seats that needed cleaning and stored in these huge packing boxes called Gaylords. That was my new term of the day. And we needed, and some of us cleaned those, wipe them down, and then you have to, whatever you put in the box, you have to count and you have to put a sheet. It's very well organized. We also, some of us did flood buckets, as we call them, or cleaning buckets, and those are always in need. When they tell us that they need, 6 people to do this or 2 people to do that, those are the things they need done more urgently. So that's why Barb had a list of possible choices, but all those were what we needed to do because those were in need. So some of us did that. Some of us sewed, for those of us who were good sewers, not me, made personal hygiene pads, and those were like deluxe. Those were made out of probably 7 layers of material with snaps, and those were the ones that sewed those. I gave them a lot of credit for doing that. Then they also, another day, some of us cut patterns out for that. Some made kits. There was like school kits. I don't know if we did school kits, but that was a possibility. School kits, hygiene kits. A couple of us did help with the wood and stacking. There were so numerous things, but they were so well organized. But Barb, who was in charge of volunteers, she had a list, and she said, I could use 4 people here, 2 people there. So you basically volunteered for what job you would do. And you may not have done the same job in the afternoon. You worked all morning with a break and then all afternoon with a break, and you might have done different things. The best thing was for me, and probably most of us, is being the first time there, we were amazed. I was totally amazed at that organization. They are, when you say well-oiled machine, I think it went beyond that. They knew where everything was. They get things that they need. They don't just collect, and if they do, they don't just collect things that, maybe they'll need maybe somebody will need them. They've got so much stored of the things that that they request and need that it's amazing. It's a warehouse, unbelievable. You had all, it's all one warehouse, but it's warehouse one, warehouse two, warehouse three, warehouse four, and it all led from beginning to end. So it's an amazing place. The thing that I took away is that we were reminded how we were hands and feet of Jesus. And you're going, oh my gosh, you know, it's something, or the hands and feet. But when you, as you are working and you're chatting with the people there, you get an overwhelming sense of, we're helping people, that's great. But what it was, I found more nourishment of my soul doing this. And when they tell you and they thank you every day for being there two or three times a day, you're feeling it. You're feeling that in your mind. You know that the people that they're sending these supplies to are either in our own United States or Honduras, Africa. That you know that they have the smiles on their face. But I felt more nourishment and of my soul on this trip. And if you ever have a chance to go on this mission, and anybody in the congregation is welcome to go, we're booked in May 2028 to go, and you will be amazed. The accommodations, we rented the lodge, and it's like amazing. When we got done with the day, we were like all exhausted. We had comfortable furniture to just kind of lounge, talk about the day. There was kitchen facilities. Thanks to Beth and Fritz, who brought our cooking supplies, we were able to then eat together a meal. It was amazing. But truly, when it inspires your own soul, you just go home with a great, great, beyond great feeling that you were the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bethany. For those of you who have not heard this story, in 2012, there was a mother and an art teacher, Tamara Kaleida, who took her son, her teenage son, to ball games in Saginaw High and saw the deplorable conditions that people were living in down there. The next year, she decided, I'm going to do a mission project. And she did. She went out and she partnered with a pastor down there and who created One Week, One Street, which is a one-week effort where we come in and refurbish. We put new roofs on. You can see some of the information I'll tell you here. Last year, 33 homes improved, 4 roofs were built, 15 porches, 14 homes received tree services, 7 dumpsters, complete dumpsters filled with refuse that had to be cleaned up there. 454 individual people came on. The numbers go on and on. It's a wonderful refurbishment project that goes on every year. And what I find, similar to what we just heard from Mary, was that, you know, this is our community, the Tri-Cities. Let's help our neighbors here. And, you know, we come from, the people that go down there are from many different churches, from many organizations outside of churches across the Tri-Cities. And you know, we have our different beliefs, some belief difference in baptism versus this, and different beliefs in what they believe about God, and some people don't even believe in God. And I don't know, I can't say for a fact that I know exactly who's right and who's wrong, but what I do know is that there are people out there that are in need, and I can do something about it. So this is your chance. Do you want to do that and help those people out there for no other reason than they need help? Thank you. The week is coming up. You'll see it's the end of June. There'll be another announcement coming up with some slides from what we did last year. And so far the response has been very good this year. So we're hopeful to get more and be able to do more houses this year. So thank you.
Good morning. And I want to just go ahead and thank all of you who attended our concert last night. We hosted the Eagle Rock Gospel Singers, and they are now on their way to New York, where they have a show there this evening. So thank you so much. My next invitation for you is our summer series. This is a series of concerts which we have created to support young people who are going into music, young folks who are composing, young folks who are educating musicians. I will be honest and tell you, if it weren't for the church and if it weren't for the music educators in my life, you would not have a music director standing in front of you today. So I really thank those folks. It's also important that we continue the legacy of sacred music and encourage young people to think about that as an option. So the folks that you see in front of you, they are folks who are working in our community and in our state to bring us sacred music, to bring us musicians, and to help people really hone their craft. Aaron and Colin Whitfield, you may know their names. It's a soprano and pianist. Our second act is a handbell duo. They compose handbell music, some of which we have performed. And our last guest is Dr. Andre. He is a bassoonist from Brazil. He is also the spouse of Leticia Grootsman, if you know who that is. So we are really excited to give you a variety of concerts this year. All of them are free and take place in our chapel on the second Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I have one more announcement for you. Today is a special Sunday in our congregation because we are celebrating our graduates, but it is also a special Sunday denominationally as we are celebrating Miracle Sunday. This is a Sunday that we get to participate in helping to fund the Endowment for Theological Education outside of the United States. If you feel led, you are welcome to put Miracle Sunday on a gift of offering, and it will go to fund theological education for those who are outside of the United States in Africa and Europe and the Philippines, strengthening local leadership and expanding the church's capacity for faithful and contextual ministry. To find out more, you can also turn to the insert in your bulletin.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies.
Savior.
I'd like to invite up our graduates and our scholarship team. If you would, please come forward. But I would also like to recognize those of family members who are graduating as well. We have Emmeline Busser, granddaughter of Tom and Joellen Randolph. She is graduating from Novi. And then Garrett Kissel, who is graduating from Cleary University with a bachelor's degree in business administration. And he is the grandson of David and Susan Skinzel, as well as Thomas Skinzel, graduating from the University of Missouri with a bachelor's degree in education. Also the grandson of David and Susan Skinzel. And so we send our congratulations to them. And if you girls would like to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what your future plans are, we would love to hear that from you. Thank you.
I'm Lena. I'm going to Colorado State University this fall. I'm majoring in animal science, and I'm minoring in entrepreneurship and leadership.
Hi, I'm Gretchen. I plan to attend Purdue University in the fall and major in cybersecurity.
Hi, I'm Karen McKimmy. I am attending Central Michigan University, and I'm going to be majoring in psychology and minoring in music.
Today we will recognize the 2026 recipients of the Midland FUMSI scholarships. These scholarships recognize students with outstanding character, academics, and service to church, school, and community. First, we recognize Kira McKimmy. Kira attends Midland FUMSI and is graduating from Dow High School. She plans to attend Central Michigan University to major in psychology and minor in music and youth studies. Next, we have Gretchen Snyder. Gretchen attends Midland FUMSI and is graduating from Dow High School. She plans on attending Purdue University to major in cybersecurity. And it is our tradition on Grad Sunday to also announce the recipient of the D.D. Dicker Scholarship, which is awarded to a young person who exhibits the traits, like D.D., of seeking out friendships, encouraging or bringing joy to others, helping and comforting. This year's recipient is Lena Chamberlain. Congratulations to you all. It's God's blessings to you as you move to your next life adventure.
Congratulations. We have a little video that we would like to play as well.
In this moment, we stand. Hearts open, let love call. Drink dreams fulfilled, we've come so far. With faith shining like a star, together we rise and shine. In grace we find our time. As we gather, the world awaits. With memories made, we celebrate. With lessons learned and friendships true, our journey starts, the path is new. Together we take this leap of faith, with hope in our hearts we embrace our place. With every tear and every smile, we've grown up walking every mile. The future's bright, the chapter's clear. Together we shine as one. In this story, the best is yet to come. As we step into the light, grateful hearts are spirits bright.
So I just want to let you guys know that we sent out an e-blast. I'm not sure how many people saw it or not, but we're going to have a buzzing summer this summer in Sunday school. We are going to be meeting. We're going to invite VBS to join us this summer. We're not doing a formal VBS this year. Hopefully next year things will be different. But we're going to do it from June 7th through the 30th during Sunday school this summer. In addition to that, we are going to have a special Saturday session called Be a Blessing, Serving Saturdays. And that is going to be the second Saturday of the month for June 13th, July 11th, and August the 8th. And we invite everybody in the congregation to help. We have some kits we're going to put together. This is kind of based on Midwest missions. And so we're going to, if everybody likes doing rice and everything, we're going to do some of their kits and stuff on the Saturdays, as well as like some local stuff also. We're going to help out do some bags for friendship lunch and some different things. So we invite you all to come from 9 to 11 or to contribute. We're going to have a box out by the children's wing, and or you can do a monetary contribution, because we do need materials to put everything together. But we're excited to bring it into the whole church, and so come join us, and we hope to make it a fun-filled summer. Come for one Saturday, or come for all of them if you're in town. We understand everybody has vacations. All right, now to our Sunday school lesson this week here. We are doing the Ascension this week. The Spirit guides us in times of change. It is from Acts 1, 6 through 14. Our memory verse this week is, "You will be my witness in Jerusalem, to all of Judah, and to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1, 8b. All right, so I think that's about all I have to say. We're going to do some wonderings in there about the everything. But I think we got to get on to our next part here, where our kids are anxious to do their little song here, right?
Sunlight hurts my eyes.
Amen. Amen. I heard the choir and the kids rehearsing. And kids, you're welcome to head to Sunday school if you want. Or you can stay with us. We love having you in worship. But thank you for sharing that anthem with us. And they were right. It is going to be a lovely day. Saw that leak coming into worship for sure. You know, today is one of those special Sundays where you just know that God is good. You know, you look at our graduates and this time in their life, and it invites us to look back and to consider all that God has poured into them. And then when we have children up here and, you know, the class of 2032, I'm sorry, parents, but everyone else who have seen family, friends, loved ones graduate, you know, it's a blink of an eye. Today reminds me of the opportunity and gift that we have to speak into the lives of young ones and teach them some of the most important lessons in life, that they are loved, that they matter, that they are safe and secure in the arms of a God who is good. In part, that is what the church is about, giving them opportunities to learn those lessons. And so let us be reminded as we offer back to God some of what God has already given us, that that's an opportunity to share in that work, to come alongside parents and family members in that work of sharing those life lessons. So let us give freely as God has given to us. May the ushers please come forward.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Just a closer walk.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
Daily walking close to thee.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
I'll be satisfied at all.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk, just a closer walk.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk, just a closer walk.
Daily walking close to thee.
Just a closer walk.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Walk with thee.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
Daily walking close to thee.
Just a closer walk.
let it be. Dear Lord, let it be.
God, we give you thanks for life's milestones. We give you thanks for our students' graduation and those of their classmates and peers. God, because in these milestones, we look back and we can see in our close walk with you how much you have poured into our lives. Lord, we give back to you, asking that you would bless all that we give you through the offering this morning and through our lives, that others might know this grace in their lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will be reading John 17, 1 through 11 from the New Revised Standard Version, Updated Edition. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you have gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, and the words that you have gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name, that this is given to me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words that I speak and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to take just a second to say how proud I am. All four of the graduates from our congregation serve in various ways throughout the church and in the community. And Gretchen and Kira have both led in worship today. And Lena helps with our Sunday school kids. And I'm just so proud of them. And I'm glad that we can all celebrate their accomplishments together. King of glory, soul of bliss, everlasting life is this. Thee to know, thy power to prove, thus to sing, and thus to love. That's the last stanza of Christ the Lord is Risen Today, one of my favorite hymns of all time. And if you heard me preach once or both times last month, you know that I keep coming back for more, that it's a recurring theme that tells you something about me, but more importantly, I hope that it relays the depth of the gift that we've been given, because we could sing this beautiful hymn every single Sunday, and it would be relevant every single time. The reality of the incarnation, God taking on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the whole story is important. All of it has meaning and has a purpose, but the resurrection is the climax, because death has been defeated, and that truth doesn't just matter for the end of our lives. It matters every single day. We live out the victory and the accomplished work of Christ right now, today. In our passage today that Kira read for us, Jesus is still with the 12 disciples. They finished the Passover meal, and Jesus would soon go to the Garden of Gethsemane. But before he does, he prays. He prays to the Father in front of the disciples, aware that they are present, but directing his attention and his words to the Father. Jesus has told the disciples that he's going and that he will send the Holy Spirit. He has warned them of persecution that they will experience because he gives a peace that the world cannot give. And at first, they're confused because Jesus has been speaking in figures of speech, not simply in that moment. And these details are all in John chapter 16, just prior to our passage. But they set the context for Jesus' prayer. They help us to understand why Jesus prays as he does. In part, after Jesus had spoken the words to the disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him all authority over all people, and this to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." The reason we keep coming back to the Word of God and proclaiming the gospel is not because I'm telling you anything that I didn't tell you last time I preached or any of the times before, but the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks. He is the giver of life. Each of the writers of the account of the gospel is telling the same story and the same truth, but from a different angle. And so each week we come to worship, we're telling the same story, but from a different perspective. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to bring to mind the same truth in a different way. And that's exactly what the gospel writers have done in their own way. John's angle is primarily theological. There's not a genealogy, but the first narrative that he gives is related to John the Baptist and Jesus coming to him to be baptized. Understanding the angle is important because Jesus has spoken repeatedly about the hour coming through John's account. Meaning, John chose to highlight this theme when recounting the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and giving it a framework. He consistently says, the hour is coming, the hour has come.
In John 17, the hour has finally come, and Jesus speaks of glory. The depth of his prayer is profound, because not only is he allowing the disciples to hear how he is addressing the Father and what he's saying about his work on the earth and his glorification, or even that of his glorification to come, to have again the glory that he had in the presence of the Father before the world existed. But because we understand the relationship of the Father and the Son in a certain way through this prayer and are invited into that relationship. Previously, in John 14, Jesus has told the disciples that because they've seen him, they've seen the Father. Because they know him, they know the Father. All the Father has, Jesus has. Because he and the Father are one, and everything is under the authority of Jesus because of that. This is where some of the foundation of the doctrine of the Trinity comes from John's account. I know sometimes it can feel really confusing because there are things that we can and we can't know because we see it in Scripture, but there are other things, such as the Trinity, that are not explicitly stated but are implied. The Trinity is majorly accepted and is normative to believe in the Christian life. And there's a bigger explanation to that, but here and now is not the time to explain in depth. What's important for us to know is that part of this scripture, this prayer that Jesus prays, helps us to understand this relationship that is foundational and at the core of our faith. This hour that Jesus refers to matters so much because it's why he came. The glory he had before the foundation of the world, he laid aside so that we would know the Father in a different way and understand him at a greater depth through his very Son in the incarnation. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you've given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Trinity has always existed: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, however, God has come in the flesh in order to accomplish what the law could not: the reconciliation and the giving of eternal life to all who have the Son. God has always been about coming closer and closer to his people, the humans that he created, because he loves us. Perhaps you're wondering then, why at that time? Perhaps you're wondering how the Old Testament connects to the New and why both are relevant and necessary. When we see God bringing out the Israelites from Egypt, the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and the building of the tabernacle and then the temple, God has always known that the Word would become flesh in the fullness of time, when the time was right. Recently, I was reflecting on the idea that you can hear the same truth dozens of times, but maybe it's the 13th time when it really, really sticks. That's been true for me numerous times in my life. And once upon a time, when I was a sophomore in college, God used a mentor and a children's book to speak my identity in Christ to me, over me so loudly that now I give that book away sometimes because Jesus said, unless we become like children, we can't enter the kingdom of God. In our passage today, the time had come for the Son to return to the Father and for us as humans to see, to hear, and to begin. Keyword, begin. To understand the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is this relationship that defines who we are as Christians and why we're here. It is this relationship that announces to us, even now, where we are called to be. The relationship of the Trinity cannot be fully understood in this life, but the mystery is part of what makes it so beautiful. Because there's always more to learn and always more to discover about God. He is able to do far more than we ask or imagine. And that just keeps being true. We keep seeing that over and over in our lives. That's why eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That is why Jesus prays for us. Because the world, as it's referred to in the passage, is that which is opposed to God. It's not referring to the earth or the planet as much as it is referring to that which is opposed to God. This matters because we are called to be one with God and one with one another as the Father and the Son are one. And because the enemy of our souls wants nothing more than to destroy that union. Graduates, you're going to go out in the world and do really great things. I'm certain of it. God has so much planned for you that will glorify him. But do not get caught up in what's in front of you such that you forget that you were created for a relationship with God. Ultimately, the relationship is what glorifies him the most. It is what we do from the very basis of our relationship with him that bears fruit that will last. Where each of you are going, it will be important for you to be working towards your goals and applying yourself to your studies. But I promise, nothing is as important as making your relationship with God the top priority in your life. And that's just not true. That's not just true for those who are graduating, but that's true for all of us. No accolade, no prestige, and no grade point average is worth putting anything above your relationship with the living God. And I tell you that as someone who the Lord in his kindness has had to lead to repentance more than once, especially as it relates to my time as a student in higher education. But kind isn't just what he does. It's not just what God does. It's who God is. It's part of his identity. And he will do whatever it takes to restore our union with him. And we see that most poignantly in Jesus' hour, the cross. The identity in Christ that the Lord spoke over me in a children's book, God is using to restore my union with him.
And in that union is life, true and eternal life. That's the end to which every other thing in life points to. Union with God. Our studies, our occupations, the things we volunteer for, all of it is meant to point to union with God and to bring us into union with Himself. And so as we go into prayer and the rest of worship, allow yourself to be drawn to God more intentionally. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you join with me in prayer? King of glory, God of grace, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for all that we have to celebrate and give thanks for. Graduation Sunday, Miracle Sunday, and all that in our lives which you have blessed us with. We give you thanks for the privilege it is to be in relationship with you, and that your goodness and love for us means that anything and everything we do has the opportunity to point us to you, because you love us so much. We give you thanks for the privilege that it is to be your hands and feet in so many ways in the world. Through Midwest Mission and One Week, One Street, we thank you for the gift of music and for the ways it draws us into your beauty. We pray for those who cannot worship as freely as we do today. We pray for the persecuted church and for those around the world in war-torn countries. Lord, strengthen and protect them. Give them the courage and the strength to love you to the end and to witness to you to the end, whatever that looks like. Lord, provide all that is needed. We thank you for all the ways you provide, for the ways you bless loaves and fishes and multiply them, and for the ways that you know what each person needs before we ask. We give you thanks, Blessed Trinity, for your relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One and three, three in one, God in three persons. And we give you thanks for the privilege that it is to pray, to come to you in times of joy, sorrow, need. We thank you that you just love to hear our voice. And we give you thanks for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now, if you are able, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," on page 557 in your hymnal, and we are going to sing the first and the last verse.
gift it is to celebrate with our grads. They're going to go on back into the parlor before I get through with the benediction so that they can be ready for us to greet them. And as we go today, I invite us to wonder with the Holy Spirit, where is it that God is inviting us each into deeper union with Him? As we go this week, go in the love of the Lord Jesus and know that He walks with you in each and every place that you are. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.